This is the Family Culture Movement. Are you ready to break up with the dysfunctional beliefs and behaviors of our dominant culture and parent with intention? Then you're in the right place. The Family Culture Movement is where you'll learn how to take inventory of the narratives and social conditioning shaping your family dynamics and say no to the dominant culture. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. I'm going to help you break dysfunctional patterns and lead your family with confidence and resilience. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, be sure to check out the last episode of the Family Culture Movement with Jennifer Bogard. We talked about sometimes the best thing you can do for your family culture if your marriage is in turmoil is to split, and you can have a better family culture being apart than you were together. Awesome. I'm excited to welcome to the show Evans Putman. Evans helps coaches and experts with big positive missions build profitable, scalable businesses that change lives without complicated marketing and sales funnels. Yeah, I hear that. And selling one-to-one services by using his podcast called Premium Process. Is that your business? That's your podcast called Premium Process?
No, this is a new method that I've put together based on my experience. So it's sort of the framework within my business.
I see. The framework is Premium Process.
Yeah, but I call it the core four podcast process. To premium.
Oh, okay.
That is awesome. Hard to say now that you said
it. Sorry, I didn't mean to complicate it.
But too many P's in there.
I like it. So you use the podcast platform as a process for your business marketing and strategies and services, basically is what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely. It's gotcha. I've found through the years that I believe that podcasting is one of the absolute best ways to build trust and connect with your clients, your audience, your prospects, mm-hmm. and to get your message out there. So that's what it's really at the core of my program that I've put together, the Infinite Impact Method. So that's the actual name of the thing, the Infinite Impact Method, but the actual way it works is the podcast to premium process.
Gotcha. That's awesome. Awesome. I'm excited. We're going to talk about that, that infinite process that you're going to, or, oh my goodness, I just totally botched that, but maybe Evan, it's just me. we're going to talk about that also at the end of this conversation. So you can tell us more about that. So I didn't even get to say welcome. I'm excited. Welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you.
Yes, you too. It's good to see you again. So it's been a little while since we've seen each other. So it's nice to catch up.
It's nice to have so many ways to connect virtually. You know, it's just great. I feel like with COVID-19, I've connected with more people virtually than in person. You know, it's like it's a great blessing. I feel like that it's become normalized to be able to connect this way.
What's funny is that I never really liked networking before in person, but now I do all these networking events virtually, and I actually enjoy them. And it's, I don't know, maybe it's sort of like the introvert extrovert in me. I don't know.
That's kind of how I feel too. I don't mind this at all. I'll connect with people virtually all the time. If people want to like come up and meet me in person, I'm like, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah. I used to dread. I absolutely dreaded like when I used to work in the sort of the corporate world many moons ago, I used to dread the whole like, hey, we're having this event after work. Everybody's going to get together and, you know, you're going to hand cards to each other. And I used to hate that stuff, but you know, doing these, we had one last week with, I think, 18 people that we jumped on. We did a connect and collaborate. And I think I knew two of them, but it's just so much more comfortable.
Yeah.
I think, at least for some of us.
Yeah. I agree with you. That's awesome. So, okay. So Evans, I'm excited to ask you my icebreaker question because it's always fun to hear people's response. What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a kid?
Probably a basketball player.
Yeah.
Yeah. So probably, I mean, that's what I used to do. Almost 90% of my time was spent in my backyard. I was an only child, so I would spend all my time out in the backyard playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of like my fantasy world. And my favorite player back then was Dr. J. So that sort of ages me a little bit. I was before the Michael Jordan era. But, you know, I would imagine that I was the different players taking the last shot, doing all these different things. And And of course, I didn't quite grow tall enough. I don't think, you know, I'm 6 feet tall, but you know, I could have used, I always tell people, you know, if I only had like 5 more inches, I think I could have.
Right. Professional basketball players. They're tall. They're tall.
I did end up, you know, what was nice is I ended up coaching and working with kids. Okay. And it was really very rewarding to be a coach and to help younger kids. And I worked camp. So I sort of took it to that level to where I helped other people. And that really did connect with me in a big way.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's like, how did that dream or that vision idea that you wanted to do that, play basketball, how did it influence you growing up and who you've become?
Yeah, I think it really did take me to the point where, because I've always found myself, like I found myself as a personal trainer at one point, and mm-hmm. I was always in this sort of coaching mentality, and that's carried over now into entrepreneurship. And I actually, a lot of times when I find myself sort of being bogged down in the day to day, I think about, you know, like what really gets me excited? I want to go do that. And one of the things is doing like what we're doing, but actually like coaching and working with people is what really sort of inspires me. So when I start feeling bogged down, like before I was actually creating courses specifically, but then I never saw the face on the other side.
Right.
And so then I backed out of that and I was like, no, I'd rather be in the coaching realm where I'm actually interacting and seeing the success, because it's really all about the other person being successful. And you don't see that a lot of times as an online entrepreneur.
Yeah. If you're not getting intentionally creating that space where you're connecting or if you're working with them one-on-one, which if you have a course, usually those are on demand. It's like, oh, I don't really see the results, or people don't usually reach one-on-one out to me. Right. So
yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I like the interaction part of it as well. So it's not necessarily coaching one-to-one, but at least, you know, even if it's just in a group, a master class, something like that, it's just so much more rewarding. But I think a lot of that stemmed from and basketball was something that I was really confident in, because I was actually a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. And I played all the way through high school. But I think once I took that confidence and then started sharing it with others and helping them play basketball, it made me feel alive. It was really nice to help others and see their success.
That's awesome.
That's really carried over through the years.
Yeah, I love seeing that you were able to see this connection, that it's helped to cultivate you and your confidence and your ability to serve and teach other people. And then you can carry that over into other aspects of your life. I think that's so inspiring. I love asking that question because of that reason. Like, what did you want to be and how did it inspire you? And it's awesome to see how things connect and the way that, you know, the things that we were excited about when we were little and as we were growing up, like they really do. We need to keep that with us. And I like to ask it because I just think that a lot of times I get a various response to that, because it's like, oh, you know, it might've been, some people are like, oh, I became what I wanted to be. And mm-hmm. I, you know, everything went great in my life. And I'm like, oh, kudos to you, you know, or some people are just like, I just want to be happy. Right. Anyways, I just think it's fascinating to hear the responses.
Well, it's funny because I've never thought of the connection as much as when you just asked me that, and then telling it just sort of reminded me like, wow, that probably is one of the things that happened during that process. And it's actually been a really cool journey. I mean, I've coached players, played in the NBA. I've, you know, been to Madison Square Garden to watch him play at a sold out crowd. I mean, done all these amazing things that while I wasn't playing, it was still the sport and the thing that I love that took me to a lot of amazing adventures that I got to do later down the road. So
that's so cool. I also like asking that question because I think we get to learn something about you that probably not a lot of people, not everybody knows in your normal circles.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Definitely. Because, so, you know, when we get together, we talk about podcasting and entrepreneurship, yep. this and that, you know, so that's definitely true.
That's awesome. Awesome. So before we get into like the topic, this, I like to talk about, you know, what is it about our dysfunctional beliefs and behaviors of the dominant culture, right? That we need to address and think about how can we change this. Before we get into the topic, you want to to bring up. Is there a pivotal moment in your life that brought you to this realization, this epiphany of the something that you feel like we want to change, and something that changed in you that allowed you to make this realization?
Yeah. I was thinking about this before we came on, because it was funny, because I was always in entrepreneurship and I was working, I'll age myself, because I looked the other day, it's been almost 20 years since I started my first online business. And I sold multiple businesses, and then I got into other things, and I became a freelancer and a marketing strategist, marketing consultant. And I was always working for a goal, like an end in mind. And it was generally something that the client or the person that I was working with wanted to achieve.
Okay.
And it was sort of like, the goal to have, what do you want to get? Like, oh, I want to make this much money. Oh, I need to launch my new business. Oh, whatever that was. And it wasn't until, and I think now I'm trying to think back exactly, I believe it was about 3 years ago now, it was my first Funnel Hacking Live in Orlando. And I didn't know what to experience. I had no idea what I didn't know it was going to be about. And I get there and I start listening to the people on stage. And I kept hearing how they were talking about the people whose lives they were changing. And all of a sudden, it was like I had this light bulb came on, and it was a big switch. And okay, it's not about just launching a website, just launching a podcast, just, making a certain amount of money. Which was the way I'd always structured things and the way that my business had always worked. Then all of a sudden it was like, oh, it's about the impact. And I think that really changed. And a lot of that was set really because of the way I was raised in a sort of an business world where it was about dollars and cents. That's all I ever heard. And I always told myself, I'm never going to be in business. I'm never going to do this, because I didn't want to be there. But of course, as I got older, I realized I have to at least find something to do. So I think it was that, it was really that moment. I mean, I still tell people, it was like this tap on the shoulder, and I heard like this intuition saying, and at the time I was really happy too. That was the crazy thing. I was working with a business partner in a business that was starting to do really well. And over the next year, we did really well. But during that whole time, ever since that one pivotal moment, I kept thinking, okay, there's something else that I'm supposed to be doing. And the thing that, and eventually I did leave that business and go out on my own. And that's where I got to where I am. But when I look at it now, too, it was almost like it wasn't necessarily just that aha, but it was also a personal aha, because the person I was working with, he also had a goal. His whole goal, and what I wasn't really seeing, was that he was also working to change people's lives. He was trying to give back to the community because he had been really successful at in real estate and had figured out a way to make a lot of money working few hours with the sole goal of being able to stay home and spend more time with his young daughters. And so he turned around and wanted to teach other people how to do that as well. But then what I discovered was, is it wasn't that the outcome was what was sort of distracting me in a different direction. It was that I was feeling the need that, okay, I've helped him achieve this, but what if I was able to go out and grab 100 other people and help them? Then all of a sudden, that would be a massive ripple effect instead of just a small ripple effect. Well, I mean, the small one's still good because it eventually spreads out, but I wanted it to be bigger, have a bigger impact, but I also wanted it to be about something that I was doing, sort of stepping out of the shadows of being the guy behind the curtain, pulling the strings, to being the person out front.
Well, this sounds a lot like building a legacy, right? Like that sounds like when you make an impact on a large scale. I mean, when we're talking about families and we're talking about having a small business or things like that, you're definitely going to leave a legacy with your family. But when you consider the impact that you can have on a broader spectrum, that's like your legacy becomes magnified. It grows and you can impact more people in that sense of, yeah, what am I going to leave behind? What do I want my life to represent at the end of it? And saying, if I had the opportunity to impact more people, did I take it or did I just kind of shrink and stay behind the curtain? Right.
Yeah. And I think that's 100% true. And I realized it was like, okay, I was living the dream of being able to work for myself, but I was promoting somebody else's dream, mm-hmm, their business, instead of what I wanted to achieve. So, and it wasn't until, I mean, it was literally just sitting, I remember the very first day sitting there watching Kaylin Pullen from Lady Boss up there, yeah, talking about like all the lives she was changing. Then I can't remember who was next, but I could literally feel like my hair starting to stand, yeah, doing it now even, starting to stand up. And it was like, I heard this whisper like, that's, you need to play bigger and take that step and be, I don't necessarily feel like I need to be on a big stage. I'm not going for the accolades, but just to be able to affect more lives and to help other people achieve what they want to achieve.
So what would you say is the dysfunctional behavior belief of the dominant culture? Is there something in, like, is that how, because of how you were raised differently than when before this epiphany, you know, what is the dysfunctional belief that you feel like we should address here?
Well, what was funny is when I came out of this is that, you know, I ended up leaving that business and I started focusing more on a little bit of self growth, mm-hmm, and starting to meditate and do things like that. And I had a morning routine, but during that time, you know, it kept coming back to this idea of impact and what I now call impact influencers, because it was something that came in my mind. It just kept hitting me that, okay, that we talk about influence and who's influencing. And when you look at it, an influencer to me should be somebody like Tony Robbins, somebody who's doing something, and not necessarily on that level. It could be just the person who's, you know, running a nonprofit, you know, a conscious entrepreneur running a nonprofit who's helping people. Like, for instance, I have a friend who helps men and women transition out of prison and educates them and gives them skills and gets them back in the workforce and rebuilds their lives. So to me, that is the type of person we should be calling an influencer. You know, the person who is changing lives positively. So that's really where all of a sudden I started thinking, okay, I want to create this movement. It doesn't matter how big it is, but just to sort of take that word back. And that's where I came up with the idea of the impact influencer. Mm-hmm. So for all, you know, we have a lot of friends like this too in the entrepreneurial world. And that's one thing that I learned going back to my youth. I always saw people like, who were doing business and working in business as being almost selfish.
Yeah.
And it was all about the money, about the have, like I want to have something. And I heard something that sort of wraps this up like in a nice bow the other day, instead of, you know, we always talk about like the be, do, have, mm-hmm, but I heard somebody the other day say that they wanted to switch that mindset to be, do, give. Mm-hmm. And I thought that is like the exact perfect phrase that sort of wraps up what my idea is that we need to switch that, you know, who are we looking at as influencers? It should be people who are impacting the world in a positive way, not people who are just taking pictures of themselves to boost their ego. We should start focusing on, contribution. And I think there's a big switch in the entrepreneurial world where we're seeing a lot of that growth now and a lot of people moving towards contribution as opposed to just creating something for the sake of the dollar, which I think is really nice.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So I want to go deeper into that, what it means to create contribution. But first I want to talk about like, what is keeping people stuck in this like selfish mentality of producing content or this narcissistic society, basically. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, we see, I was just distracting myself earlier today. watching like reels on Instagram, and it was like, how are these people getting so many people? Well, it's because we are sucked into their stupid pictures and their stupid videos. Like this one guy is just this weird, quirky dude that has like wheelies, and his whole reels are just him like getting on his wheelies and riding around. And you're just like, I can't stop watching this, but it's so dumb. And so it's like, but so why is this so, why are we stuck in this, like just me mentality and thinking that influencer is just somebody who has a lot of followers? What's keeping us there?
Yeah. And I grew up in, obviously in through the 80s, and that was big on, you know, it's all about making your money, making, you know, having the big car, having the big house. And I think, you know, we still, we live in this world of lack and fear. Mm-hmm. And it all comes back to, you know, and I can say this because over the past 3 years, things have changed immensely for me. And it comes back for me, at least, to spending some time, you know, being quiet and sitting with ourselves. And I think if people would actually do that,
that's hard to do for a lot of people.
Yeah. They don't, you know, I know so many people that it's just the busy, 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 busy. And the reason you stay busy is just that you don't feel comfortable with all the different emotions and feelings that you're having. So you try to avoid them by staying busy. And I think we live in a culture where we're told, you know, don't feel certain things and stay busy, keep hustling, keep grinding, things like that. And it's like, no, maybe you should just slow down. And yes, you should feel things. You should accept them, because you can accept it, sort of wave at it and watch it going by if you want to. But it's not easy. I mean, I had to do a lot of soul searching during this time too. It's a lot of forgiveness, a lot of things that changed me, but I did it solely because I knew I needed to. And I have a daughter that I wanted to be a better father to than what I had growing up. So it's really important to me. But I think that's the, you know, it's people, and it's really tough. I mean, I have a friend, I don't know if it's a mutual friend of ours, Carla White, who created the Gratitude app. One of the best pieces of advice anybody ever gave me that I took, because a lot of times I'm stubborn and I don't take advice, was to turn off the news. I mean, I got rid of all the news things in my phone, everything, and I stopped paying attention to it. And it was amazing, just the shift in my mentality and just the sort of relaxation and the ease where I wasn't being bombarded with fear and divisiveness all the time. So I think we just have to step out of that and spend some time, you know, thinking about what can I do to make somebody else's day better.
Right. So, you know, so basically what you're saying is that we're stuck in that mentality because we're so distracted, and we're distracted by people claiming to be influencers when they're just filling our newsfeed with fluff. And we're distracted by current events and having basically a fear of missing out because we want to be able to know what's happening. And so it's like, honestly, that's almost like we're never going to advance beyond just this little teeny bubble that we have, just because we are not taking the time to just think about, what am I creating? What am I consuming? And what is the impact does it have on me? And can I consume better? Right. It's fascinating too, that this idea of meditation, how you're like, well, our culture says it's not allowing us to face our demons. I mean, that's really what meditation ends up being, is like, I got to face my demons and maybe not react to them, but at least face them. Right. Yeah. And that's a big ask for this world, where we're going, well, no, I just want to listen to noise and be distracted, not feel, and just consume and consume things that numb me and help me to shut out those feelings. And so what I hear you saying is that type of behavior, those habits are what are numbing us from creating an impact and doing things that are bigger than ourselves.
And it's a
big deal.
It's a dilemma. Well, that's funny. It's a dilemma. I just finished watching The Social Dilemma, which I don't know if you've seen yet, but it's, I would recommend it for sure. But it's been sort of, to me, it's like, okay, how do I live in the world of social media, which I sort of have to for business, but yet not be pulled into it in a lot of ways. And if, the one thing about that, that you talk about the distraction aspect and the chemical, like the dopamine and all the OxyContin and the things that, you know, it is built in a way, it is engineered specifically to create a habit to pull us into it. And one thing that, and I try to, you know, I try to, this seems like such an easy thing, but one thing that I did was I took this thing and in the mornings, I don't touch it. You know, the only reason I touch it in the morning is I get up and I do usually listen to like something inspirational, but I don't open my email. I don't open social media. I don't do any of that until I'm done with like my morning sort of ritual that I do in the morning to get in the right frame of mind. Cause it's amazing when you don't do that. And I, let's say I stray one day and I do pull it up and next thing you know, I'm sucked in, my mind goes somewhere else. I'm not, you know, I'm just not moving into the day intentionally the way I want to. So I think it's, you know, it's being geared to manipulate us and control us. But at the same time, we have the ability to use it in a positive way if we really focus on it. You know, so I think one thing that I'm going to start trying to do is moving away from just using social media to like post a little quote or something like that, and use it more for connecting. Like we talked about at the beginning, you know, the connection and the virtual connection, which I think is people are starting to realize maybe through this COVID thing that, hey, this medium and this technology can be used in a different way to actually bring us together rather than bringing us apart.
Yeah. That's a powerful realization because we go from being mere consumers to actual producers of the content. Yeah. And because you're right, like if we allow ourselves to just be consumers, then we become, for lack of a better word, victim to someone else's marketing and someone else's strategies that keeps us distracted and numbed from real life. But when we use it as a tool, then we can use that as a process of impacting other people's lives. So that's great.
I saw something real, I'll let you go. I just want to throw this out before I forget it because I thought this was really important. I was watching and I can't remember who it was, but he was stating how he was going to quit doing recorded videos and putting them on social media and everything was going to be live from then on. Because when he did it live, he was authentic. He was being himself and he was having an interaction with a person on the other end. And actually, even though they weren't seeing each other, maybe, but he could feel that connection and contribution to them by being more authentic. And I thought that's one solution. Maybe instead of sitting there and thinking about all the different poses I'm going to do with my phone and to post it, maybe you just go live no matter what's going on. Maybe you got toothpaste hanging off the side of your face. Your hair is messed up. Not in my case, but anything, you know, I've done them before. It's like, oh gosh, I got like sun butter on my upper lip. And
it creates that authenticity, creates vulnerability, which creates connection. And that's powerful. That's really
definitely
powerful.
So I think that's a really, that's something that I want to consider moving forward too, is that maybe I just start focusing on, you know what, I'm just going to go live all the time and whatever happens, happens.
That's really powerful. Okay. So this being like a family podcast platform, right? Like I wanted to address here now, like what can we do as families to influence our kids to think of social media in a different light? You know, I think speaking of, you know, being a producer, being able to have contribution in this world, like that should be our goal. And so, but I think that a lot of us as parents, we kind of go, well, social media is not going anywhere and I'll just let my kids have unleashed access to social media because that's where their friends are or that's what everybody is doing. And to me, I'm like, red flags, like that's terrible idea, you know?
Right.
But so what is the alternative? You know, how can we establish for our kids, you know, for ourselves to model for our kids a better goal for the purpose of our lives, really. I mean, if impact and contribution and being a producer of good quality content, making that impact is our goal, what would you say is like the strategy? What can we do to shift our mindset towards that?
Well, the first thing that I've learned is you have to start with yourself. You know, once I started seeing the change in me, I saw the change in those around me as well. And I remember my daughter actually came to me and said something one time that just like impacted me amazingly when she was like, Daddy, she's like, it's been like a year and a half or 2 years now, and you don't really get angry and yell anymore. And I was like, okay, all this morning routine stuff has paid off now. That was the reward that I needed. But that aside, it really just starts with us and the example that we set. And one thing that I do enjoy is the fact that she actually knows that I'm doing, like, you know, Facebook Lives, or that I'm doing a podcast, or that I'm jumping on a Zoom call to speak to some coaching students. And she's even sat in here before when I've done like a group coaching thing. And just having that and her seeing that, hey, this can be used in a different way has been really impactful. And another thing we can do, and you've mentioned this, is, you know, talking about being a producer instead of just a consumer. I remember Russell Brunson actually said that in one of his podcasts, where he was talking about his children and how he's like, how can I tell them no to social media when I'm on social media all the time?
Yeah.
And he was like, so he figured he used that wording like, okay, this is the way it's going to work. You guys, if you're going to do it, you need to be creating things, not just consuming things. And that's one thing that I've been proud of with my daughter, is she has gotten really good at going and creating things. Like, she makes her own little videos. She makes thumbnails for YouTube videos. And I actually broke down and let her do a YouTube channel, but of course we made it private so nobody else could see it. So we had to create boundaries, and I think those are hard. But I think also, you know, we have to focus more on, you know, contributing to others and helping others. And if you can show them that you are, and that's one of the reasons for my business and the reason that I came up with the Infinite Impact Method. Well, I say I came up with that, but it was actually in one of my meditations where it sort of downloaded into me. But with my whole goal being is to help others and to contribute and create positive ripples. And one thing that I believe is that everybody out there has a message that can impact others positively.
Yeah.
So let's get it out there. And so I think by setting that example and me doing a business that does that, I'm hoping that's going to leave a legacy for her. One, it's going to make the world better. If I can help 100 people influence 100 people and influence it positively, that's going to make the world better. But also it's going to show her that, hey, there are ways that you can go out and live your life on your terms, do what you want to do, and have a business that helps other people. You know, maybe she wants to create a nonprofit. Maybe she wants to do, right now she wants to do YouTube videos, which, you know, I've actually discovered that there was a person I saw, I'd never heard of this person before. I think it's Mr. Beast, who I was like, do you know this guy? And my daughter was like, oh yeah, me and my friends watch his videos. And I was like, are they okay? And she's like, yeah. And he was like, he does all these really cool. And I mean, I started watching this stuff and I'm like, okay, here's an influencer, a young guy who's got, ridiculous, like 4 million, maybe 400 million subscribers. It was ridiculous. But he's going out and doing things like, he went to an animal shelter and got every animal adopted.
Oh, wow.
You know, doing things like helping somebody buy a house or doing, and I was like, okay, this is the power. So, you know, even those who are younger are seeing, if they're seeing somebody in this role model who's going out and doing amazing things like this, maybe we can shift that mentality to where it's not all about just taking my picture in front of a mirror. Maybe it's about me, you know, going out and serving my community. So it's good to see that even, you know, that's sort of trickling down. And I think we don't give enough credit to the younger generations. We're always like that grumpy old man, you know, like, oh, they don't know what they're doing. They're just selfish and this and that. And it's like, no, there's probably a lot of that kind of goodness happening that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
That's really powerful.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Like being able to use these resources, not only to be a creator, be a producer, create the impact, but the impact and the contribution comes from connection. Like that's really, it sounds like that's what you're saying is we use this as an opportunity to connect with people, to model good behaviors. I think that the days of watching things just because, you know, I just think about some like the scary mommy, you know, blog or things like that, where it's like, let's rehash the like negative aspects of being a mom and let's laugh at ourselves and how dumb things are. It's like, well, or we could talk about positive things and we can show like the good side of being a parent or, you know, the uplifting things that people can do to contribute. Not always. I mean, I'm not saying I definitely am okay with like people, we need to laugh at ourselves. Right. But more often than not, I think sometimes we need to just have a little sense of humor. And I think that will help us open up more and more in this sphere going, I'm just being, like you said, laughing at, oh, I've got some food on my face, but it's okay. You know, because we need that connection through our vulnerability and stuff. But I think that it's good to create things that are, like you said, they're going and really, you know, adopting animals, helping people adopt, like, wow, that's really powerful. There's a show that my kids really like to watch. It's called Random Acts, and they do actual random acts of kindness, you know?
And
it's like, you know, you think about that. It's like, well, don't just create content for the sake of creating content. Do it because you want to put a positive spin on things or put a positive message out to the world.
Yeah. And that's really why, you know, as what I do now is I really focus on trying to help those people that have that idea and that dream that want to do something to contribute, because it's easy just to go out there and help, you know, like, oh, you want to launch a business and, you know, do this, that's fine. But it's, you know, a lot of these people are sort of getting left behind that are thinking, well, I want to do like, maybe it's a one for one model. Like every time, you know, I launch a new funnel, I build somebody else one for free or something, you know, like all these kind of conscious entrepreneurs that are out there that may not know exactly how to build an online business and how to reach the masses. And so I'm thinking, you know, those are the kind of people that I want to serve, because I know that they have this dream and this mission that's going to go out and change the world. But going back to what you were just talking about too, I think that, I don't know why this made me circle back to it, but being authentic, I think by us being authentic as adults, and like, let's say we do just do lives and we don't worry about having the food on our face or whatever, we're not dressed nice, we just got out. You know, I interviewed somebody one time and they were like, oh, I forgot we were doing this on video. I just came back in from a run. It was a female. And she's like, I'm all sweaty. She's like, I don't care. Let's do it. I want to be authentic. And I was like, all right, perfect. But then, you know, as people always say, your children are watching and paying attention to you. So maybe they start seeing us being our authentic selves on social media, and it sort of moves them away from, oh, I've got to like have the perfect lighting, the perfect pose, the perfect outfit, and doing all that. And I think that would be really helpful and a great resource for our children.
Yeah. And acknowledging that by being authentic, we all have gifts. Right. It's not something that we have to try to pretend to be somebody or try to be like somebody else that's an influencer. It's like, no, just be yourself and create something that's uniquely yours. And that is
where the real power lies too. I mean, that's what I tell my coaching students all the time. I'm like, if you're your authentic self, you'll have no competition because nobody else is you. So just be you. Don't worry about, you know, like, well, this person says it this way or this. You know, that's one thing that one of my coaches is like, I don't give you scripts. I don't give you, you know, templates. Like, I try to give you like the principles behind why things work so that you can step into it in your own authentic self and sort of take that and run with it, you know, and be you, but know why it works and how you can use it. But be you. Don't be a robot. Don't be somebody else.
Yeah.
So, but that's truly powerful. It's like any, you know, just be, you know, we always tell our kids, be yourself, but a lot of us as adults forget that. It's like, well, you just be yourself and you will have a business that nobody else will be able to compete with.
That is really the root of the problem, Evans, I think, is that as adults, we, I don't think a lot of, it's a struggle. Like we just talked about how we have this hard time facing our demons, right? We have this hard time slowing down and listening to that inner voice. And so the result of that, I think, is that so many of us don't even know who we are authentically. You know, we don't even acknowledge, we don't know what that person is inside of us. And so it's like to ask us, hey, just be authentic. It's like, who is that person? Who am I? And that's, for me, entrepreneurship has been like so a huge personal development resource for me, because just knowing, having to put yourself out there, and you discover your demons just like come out and you're just like, oh, I didn't know I had this aversion to certain things, or I didn't know that I had like anxiety about this and that. And until I'm having to face that and then going to myself, well, I got to overcome that, because if I need to progress, I need to just, jump that hurdle, go through that obstacle and recognize that as I do, I become more and more true of who I am and more authentic. And when we have that capacity to do that as adults, then our kids are going to see that and be like, oh, I know my parents are real. They're a real person, and they're a real person to everybody that they meet. It's all integrity across the board, right? They're the same person online. Yeah. They're the same person at home, and they're the same person in public. And so that's a big deal in and of itself when you think about it, where we're not posturing and when we go out in public, and we're not trying to pretend when we see ourselves in the camera or things like that. It's like, I mean, that was something I had to get over when I first started out. It was like, I would brag about something because really I was insecure, you know, when I would get on these calls or interviews or something like that. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I did that once. I'm totally cool. You know,
I remember doing that too. We all do that.
Why did I do that? You know, I was just trying to, I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so insecure. And so being able to be aware of that and just being able to like root that part out of me, I'm like, oh, it's okay. You know what? I don't need to be insecure. I don't need to try to pretend like I'm somebody I'm not. And if they don't like it, okay. That's, again, this idea of I don't have competition because nobody else is me. And the more I recognize that and realize that and get into the root of that, I'm okay with it. You know, I know a lot of people, and that's where people in the entrepreneurial world, we get to that imposter syndrome. I think it's because we look at other people succeeding and think, oh, I can't be like them. Well, exactly. Don't even try.
Yeah, I mean, and think about, this is what's funny, because when you said that, this is what actually just flashed in my head. I'm envisioned, like, let's say I was my teenage self looking at social media and comparing, you know, like, oh, well, look at them. They're better at basketball than me. That guy can, you know, he's going to be able to go to college and play. I'm not. Then we do that as adults all the time. I mean, I catch myself doing that sometimes, like, oh my gosh, look at that person's already got their program launched. They're already doing this and I haven't yet. And I'm not, you know, and it's really, we're all guilty of that. But it's one thing that I'd like to get back to what you talked about, because it really hit home with me, was across the board, being the same person at home, in public, and in your business is, to me, if I would have had that growing up, I think things would have been a lot different, you know, not to dive too deep into my past, but with my father, it was always one person when he was in his business world around those people to make sure he had the right, you know, putting himself out there in the right way for what he felt was the right way. And, you know, you pick up on these things as a child when you see it different from home to work. And so I think that's really important that people need to start thinking about, well, what am I projecting? Maybe I should just project myself. And that's what I heard. I wish I could remember who said this, because I was reading this and they were talking about with your children, one of the best things you can do is to show them that you're human.
Yeah.
To be, you know, to show them that you're vulnerable. Like to when they're having a bad day, you just go to them and say, you know, tell them you understand, you listen. But then maybe the next day when you have a bad day, you don't hide it. You actually come and talk to them and say, hey, I'm having a horrible day today. Can I tell you about it? Just so they start to see that. So I think that's really important too, to bring out that authenticity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because kids are looking on social media and comparing themselves, and they are, you know, this depression and anxiety and even suicide is running rampant because of kids' access to social media and being just self-deprecating and not believing that they have value because they see the doctored up versions and the inauthentic versions of what's going on.
Yeah.
And so again, that brings us back to this idea of being the kind of influencer that is there for creating impact, not just to get followers, right? It's important for influencers to recognize that putting content out there, you're just going to have an impact, and you got to decide what kind of impact you're going to have. And the reality is, like, you're going to have a better impact and a far more far reaching impact when you're doing it for the right reasons and doing it for good than if you're just doing it to put out content and make people feel bad about themselves.
Right. Definitely.
But, awesome. That's so cool. Okay. So you mentioned you have a morning routine and I know you have a freebie that we're going to put inside of the Family Success Toolbox. And I know that that's what it's about. So will you just tell us a little bit about that, about your morning routine and about this impact influencer?
Sure. My morning routine started, and it's funny, it's sort of grown from like morning routine to daily routine. But my actual, when I first started my morning routine, it still does this. I hydrate every morning. And I drink like 36 ounces right when I wake up. I have like a green drink. I exercise. I meditate for a little bit. I listen to something that's usually inspirational, positive, spiritual. And then I'll read. And before, I was sort of giving myself like 10-minute time limits because I'm like, I can't spend all day doing this. But I do take like a nice little chunk in the morning just to have that time. And one thing that, and I also include like gratitude and journaling. And what happened, and going back to your question, the freebie, I found myself like in meditation one time. And this is where the Infinite Impact Method came from, where I was sitting there. I was meditating and these four words just appeared in my head and they were rise, shine, simplify, serve. And I had no idea. I was like, what is that? And I just kept, then when I finished my meditation, I quit the rest of my morning routine and I immediately went to my whiteboard, started writing this stuff out, mapping it out. And I was teaching it. And I'm like, what am I teaching and how am I teaching this? So I was very inspired. And I felt like there was an audience like watching me as I taught this and mapped it out on my whiteboard. And that was the earliest version of the Infinite Impact Method. So now the freebie that I have is something that I call the Infinite Impact Intention Affirmations. So it's something that I do in the morning where I write out those four words, but basically it's sort of morphed into rise into your authentic self, shine to attract and affect, simplify to take quantum leaps, and serve to transform lives. And that was all sort of downloaded into my brain. And it's created like this whole, that my whole program, my whole, everything that I do now is based around just those four simple words. But of course, I can take them on a larger level down to a smaller level with what I teach. But that's what I did for my my freebie. I put in there, it's a video of me showing how I use those four words with those little phrases each morning. And I, after my gratitude, my meditation, my gratitude practice, then I just write out. And what I do is I just write. I write the phrase like, I will write, you know, I'm rising into my authentic self. And then I just finish the sentence with whatever appears in my head. So I gave a little video on that to put it in there. But the important thing about it is that you then take that, and each day I'll have that in the morning. And it's not, I don't call them just affirmations, but they're more intentional affirmations to where I look at those four things. And that's what I'm like, I shape my day moving forward on that. And then I check in during the day, like maybe around lunchtime, I'll look again and be like, okay, you know, am I still on the right path? And later that day, and then before I go to bed, I do a review and review those four things. And the thing that I found that's really important is to precede it with the meditation and then the gratitude, because that puts you in this state. And then just to open your mind and not think what you're going to write. Don't write about, I'm going to, you know, do these 10 things today that are going to help me, you know, accomplish this. It's like, just let
feel guilty at the end of the day because you didn't check anything
just
off.
Let your intention. I mean, and some days I write something and I'm like, what does that even mean, you know, to my day to day? That's not going to help me get anything accomplished. And then at the end of the day, sort of like our basketball story, this brings us full story or full circle. I go back and I look at it and I'm like, oh, I get it now. I did sort of do that throughout the day, but in a different way, but not the way I would have seen it if I would have been in my ego instead of just letting it come into it.
Wow.
So that's a long-winded explanation.
No, that's so powerful. It's so powerful because when people hear, like, you know, I hear people and they're like, oh, I hear affirmation. It's like this disjointed, untrue, unreal. You know, it's like, no, a real affirmation, first of all, has to be true, right? You can say things like, I'm a child of God or things like that, right? Like, those are things that are true to you if in your mind, right? Not just some random, I have infinite energy when you feel like crap, right? Like something like that, right? You know, but I like this idea of doing intentional affirmations because it's like you're stating an affirmation, but with the intention of like, I'm going to actually do something about this.
Yeah. And one thing you said that's really important is the feeling. Mm-hmm. You have to be, that's why you just sort of let it come out of you because you have to be in the feeling for it to actually be reality, because otherwise, like you said, if you're exhausted, it's like, I have unlimited energy and you're like falling over. You haven't slept in 2 days. It's like, no. So you have to, and I can't remember, it's Dr. Joe Dispenza. I think he always says, like, if you have the feeling and you can feel the feeling and then it connects with an emotion and it makes it more real or makes it real. I'm not sure. I'm probably butchered that, but yeah, it's really, and it's simple. It's just, it takes like, this part of it only takes 2 or 3 minutes, but I outlined it in a video and give like a little more backstory to it. And then I showed the actual, you know, framework, just the actual phrases that you have to do each day. And it's really been powerful. And like I said, it's funny because sometimes you write something and you're like, okay, what does that mean? I'm going to, you know, be more authentic by, you know, doing this thing. And it's like, it just comes out. I wish I had an example now, but it's just like, what is this even going to mean? But at the end of the day, it usually makes sense, which is nice.
Wow. That's powerful. That's really powerful. I love that. So you can find that inside of the toolbox. When this episode publishes, I'll make sure that it gets put inside the toolbox. And awesome. So Evans, I'm so excited to have you, and I've really loved our conversation. Love having you here. And tell us about what's coming up for you next? Like, what are you working on right now? Tell us about where we can find you.
I'll say too, I appreciate it because this has been an interesting, it's a different kind of conversation. I enjoy it because it's not the same old, you know, talk about the business the whole time kind of thing. So it's nice. I appreciate you having me on. So I will say right now I'm in the middle of, you know, launching and running my Infinite Impact Method coaching program. So what I did, if you don't mind, I'll give people a link to go watch a case study that I did with one of my clients. And you can find that at dreamclientsforlife.com. So it's dreamclientsforlife.com, but you can go there right now. There's a case study that shows how I helped one of my clients go from 0 to $500,000 in 12 months using the Core 4 podcast premium method. We did it organically, but we also did it with the intention of serving the right audience with the right purpose. So that was really important as well. So you can go watch that for free. And I lay out exactly the framework of how we did that. So it's not just watching a testimonial, it's actually watching it and then learning a little bit too. So you can implement it in your business. So that's really what I'm working on. I'm getting ready to relaunch. I've got the Infinite Impact Radio podcast, which I put on hold back in the end of May, sort of as we moved into this COVID thing. And I was spending a lot more time at home and with family and things like that. But I'm getting ready to relaunch that. But you can find some really great episodes that are there right now. So I'd recommend anybody to go check that out too as well. And then if you want to find me, you can always come to Facebook. I know we talked about social media, but just come to, here's the thing that I do when I tell people to come to Facebook, don't go to my page, just go find me, Evans Putman, on my profile. Send me a message if you want to, and let's chat even, you know, because I like to connect with the person and know the person who I'm being a friend with on Facebook, rather than just, you know, okay, friends, and then walk away and never talk. So, and I'm here, you know, if reach out to me if you're interested and want to know more about the coaching program or just want to chat on Facebook, just shoot me a message.
So cool. Perfect. Thank you so much, Evans. I really loved having you on the show. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Glad you were able to tune in for this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Don't miss my next episode with Stephen Dussault, who has some powerful frameworks for leadership and mindset and success. Again, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Help more people find the show. Download this episode, subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave a review. For more tools for shaping your intentional family culture, be sure to sign up for your free membership of the Family Success Toolbox at homeandfamilyculture.com. Until next time, remember to set your intentions for your family culture and lead your family toward your vision of success.